What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Elemental Evan podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is your host, Evan Roberts. And as always on this podcast, I break down health topics from a holistic and simplified perspective so that you can walk away from these episodes with some actionable steps and tools that you can apply to your life and hopefully change it for the better. On today's episode, I'm joined by a reoccurring guest. She is a near and dear friend of mine, and honestly, just a great person to be around. It is Heather Murillo. Heather was actually the very first acro yoga teacher that Ashley and I ever had, which is really awesome because up until we had met Heather, we were self-teaching ourselves just through Instagram, which was super fun, but definitely the progress skyrocketed after we connected with Heather. So it's always great to just connect with Heather and just see where life is taking her. And on today's episode, we are going to cover topics such as what is the ego and why you should check your ego. We also talk about the life of a yogi and why Heather had to switch from being a full-time yoga teacher into a different career. We talk about pivoting careers and the difficulties that those might bring. And then last but not least, we talk about life coaching and what exactly life coaching is. I feel like that's a term that we hear all the time. It's like a buzzword, but we never actually hear kind of like what it's actually about. So on today's episode, we actually break down what a life coach is and what that looks like. So that is all in today's episode. I know you all are going to love this conversation with Heather. I'm going to preemptively apologize for the sound quality on today's episode because there was a little bit of difficulty with that. It is something I'm working on, so you can expect future episodes to have nice, crisp, and clear sound to them. But nonetheless, the content and quality of the actual conversation you're about to hear is absolutely on point. I love all of the knowledge that Heather always brings to these conversations, so I hope you all enjoy. And without further ado, let's welcome on Heather. Hey, what's going on, Heather? Welcome back to the Elemental Evan Show. There's not many people I get to actually say that to, so welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm super excited to be back.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to just have a conversation with you, but it's even more of a pleasure to have you on the show. So I'm really excited to have you on, and I feel like a lot has been happening in your life as well as my life, and I don't know, I feel like the last couple of years. What are some of the big things that have been going on for you in the last year or two?
I'd say like the biggest thing for me that's been going on, I know like the last time I was here, I was talking about like handstands and like yoga and like that health focus. And I've always really been in that world, right? That's how we met and how we connected, is our shared love of movement and health. And that really kind of springboarded me into this like world of, I don't really want to say mental health, but like maybe just greater wellness of like encompassing like the whole person. And so not just like the movement, the physical activity, the nutrition, but also the mindset and like your happiness level and your relationships and all of those things that go a bit deeper into our level of health. I was really craving more connection and information about that and greater ways to help people. Because I spent so long being a yoga teacher that I really wanted to teach something a bit deeper. Like I wanted to get into that. And yoga definitely does touch on that. But I was finding it really hard to get that instruction in the yoga studio. Because, you know, people are coming for a movement class. They want to do asana. And like, that's great. And I love that. But I started feeling like something was really, really lacking. And so I kind of stepped away from the yoga studio and got more into like the personal development world. And yeah, so I really am like going like full into life coaching and trying to help people expand their wellness in more well-rounded ways.
Yeah. Kind of on the topic of, and I know we're going to get into the life coaching, just for everyone listening, that is going to be an exciting portion of this episode. But before we jump there, on the topic of mindset, because mindset has been one of the biggest things that I've probably been cultivating this last year to 2 years, I would say. What's been one of the biggest mindset shifts or kind of concept that has really resonated with you and had an impact in your life?
Such a good question. I feel like the biggest mindset shift I had was kind of this idea of like, really, like my focus is I'm not playing small anymore. And what I mean by that is really giving myself the belief that I can go for something big and scary and new and believe that I can do it. Whereas like I've done a lot of things in my life that I've like accomplished, right? Like there's definitely goals I set out for myself that I, you know, hit. But they always felt a little safe, a little predictable. Like, you know, sure, graduated from college, did really well, got like the teaching job, bought the house, like had the kid, you know, became a yoga teacher, started teaching classes, that sort of thing. But it was kind of like this mapped out, pre-programmed place, and doing something that didn't have a mapped out path, that was a bit more entrepreneurial and really believing in myself, is something very new for me. Like it, I never was really that person to take a risk like that and go full like entrepreneur. And yeah, I feel like I've really, really done that. So that was like a big mindset shift. Is I enrolled in this coach training program the day before it started. Kind of on a lark, but not really, because it's something I've been thinking about for a while. And I talked to my partner about it, and he was like, you need to do this because you've been talking about this for years and it's meant for you and you really need to go for it. And that was kind of like the springboard. I like just signed up. And once I did that, I mean, I was terrified, but I really went all in, and I haven't stopped going all in. And so I'd say that's probably the biggest mindset shift I've really had.
Yep. That's a big mindset shift to have, where you kind of like come to the conclusion of, but why not me? Like, what makes me the person that's not able to go after these big, you know, crazy goals that I have, you know, only imaginations about? And, you know, I see other people accomplish it, but, you know, I could never do that. That's always, I think, a really like a huge barrier to get over for everyone. I know in one of the meditations that I would do frequently was like making, you know, understanding that you're worthy of something, like whatever your goals are, you're worthy of them. And it's kind of funny to see, you're like, of course I'm worthy of my goals. But for me, at least, when I sat with that and actually asked myself, like, am I worthy of this goal? Yeah. Like, I realized I actually didn't feel like I deserved the goals I was trying to achieve. And yeah. So just even opening up that possibility and understanding, like, dude, you're a human, you have you know, a lot to offer to the world. And like, why not you? You know, you're a unique person. You're going to connect with a group of people that are naturally going to resonate with you. And yeah, moving forward with that is, it's really difficult. So I feel like I can kind of connect to you on that one. And yeah, for me, the mindset of just changing, and I know we spoke about this, but changing everything from why is this happening to me, to what am I meant to learn from this? And that's been, for me, my biggest mindset shift here in like probably the last year, which is just, how can I better equip my tool belt? How can I take every difficulty or challenge that faces me and just tackle it head on, and then take all of those learnings and apply them to my life? That's definitely been one of the big ones. And yeah, I feel like those two have kind of been kind of hand in hand for me.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, like, definitely, like, that unworthiness feeling, like, for sure creeps in. Like, 100%, that's how I felt and sometimes still do feel, right? It doesn't go away, like, at the, you know, end of the day when you're just like, oh, I did the meditation, I've decided to shift my mindset, and now all of a sudden it's different. That's not really how it works. It's, like, something you have to keep, like, working with and keep reminding yourself of and keep, like, chipping away at, essentially, because I definitely still have those feelings of like, am I even worthy of this goal? But I mean, hell yeah, exactly what you said. Like, why not me? Because we see people that are doing it. Like, you see people who are successful, who have the business, who are doing the thing, who are creating something new and bold and exciting. And like for me, I felt like there was something like that in me that wanted to get out, and I didn't really know what it was. And then when I tapped into life coaching, I was like, oh, it's this. Like, this was what I was meant to do. And really just going with that feeling. And then you have moments of like little setbacks where, you know, things don't go right. Like the client doesn't call you back. You don't make the sale, or the fear starts to creep in of like, oh, well, maybe I'm not going to be so good at this. Like, maybe I can't do it. And then you have to like just reframe constantly. Like, no, that's just the fear. And you have to keep coming back to this belief in yourself. And then you're two steps ahead of where you started instead of just, you know, at the starting line still.
Yeah, you hit on consistency, and I'm so happy that you did, because I was just recently listening to a podcast and they were talking about how, you know, they looked at people doing a low fat diet, a low carb diet, like all these, you know, different kinds of diets in terms of just weight loss. And it turned out that like every single one of them worked. It was just being consistent with it. And so it's like, at the end of the day, it truly is just purely consistency. Like, how consistent can you be with something and show up every single day and get after it? And that's where the magic happens. That's where it's those little, you know, it's like that book, Atomic Habits, right? Like something so small, the atom, but like is of such power, right? You know, and you just keep showing up every single day and doing that. And yeah, big things can happen. What's going on, everybody? Over the last couple of years, one of my goals has been to actually decrease the amount of supplements that I was taking. At the time, I was taking a ton of different supplements in my cabinet, and I just really didn't know if they were a ton of benefit to me or not. So I went ahead and reevaluated everything in my cabinet, and I came into 2024 with a very simplified cabinet of health supplements that I take on the daily. And one of those things that is sure to be in my daily mix is the spirulina and chlorella from Energy Bits. It is literally one of my favorite supplements to take. It's a microalgae, which is basically just a food that's been grown and then dried and placed into these little tiny bits, or energy bits, you can call them. And so they're essentially just a food that is loaded with over 40 plus vitamins and minerals. You have spirulina, which is going to have all 9 essential amino acids, and you have chlorella, which is going to be extremely potent in chlorophyll, which, if you're unfamiliar with chlorophyll, it is able to detoxify your blood from heavy metals and mycotoxins and so much more. Spirulina and chlorella are something that I think should be in everyone's diet. And this is my favorite way of making sure that I'm getting in some form of seafood. And if you want to get your hands on some of these energy bits, then please go ahead and check out the link in the description of this show. It's going to have a 20% discount code as well for your entire order, which is just my way of saying thank you for being a listener to the show. And I hope you love it as much as I do. And here's to decluttering that super packed supplement cabinet of yours and making it a little bit more simplified. Alrighty, y'all, back to the show. Are you still teaching yoga currently?
No, I stopped teaching yoga a little while ago, right, like shortly after the pandemic really hit full force. Like, I taught yoga through the pandemic, like on Zoom. Wasn't really my jam, as it was not for so many people. And the studio that I was running changed hands. And so then I'm a school teacher as well. So that was like really where I started my career, is just teaching high school chemistry. And at the time when I was teaching yoga, I was still like working a few hours a week at an independent study school. And so as it turns out, they had a spot for me full time. And so I ended up going back to teaching school full time. And so I've been doing that for a while, not teaching yoga, except to my students at my school. I do teach yoga there every week to the middle schoolers, which is pretty great. But yeah, that's the only yoga I've really been teaching. Still performing and working with the circus and doing acrobatics, of course. But yeah, not teaching yoga.
Was it hard for you to let, like, I guess the traditional teaching of yoga go?
You know, it kind of was. Like, I had like a moment of mourning because I was really sad to leave my studio. I had been like helping the owner build this place up for many years. And it felt a little bit like my like second child. And it was tough, but in the moment, like, I really needed to shift. Like, I wasn't actually happy doing it anymore. And my partner was like, you're ready. Like, it's time. And I think he saw it fully before I did. But then once I let it go, like, it felt really right. I needed to move on.
Was it hard to pivot and kind of like, you know, I don't know, for me, for example, like moving from being just like full-time podcasting, even doing some health coaching, into now picking up a role with an amazing company, Ritual, like love them so much. But it was interesting for me to pivot and to almost like, in some ways, like I felt like, I don't want to say like an imposter, but almost like a, you know, just like, oh, what are people going to think of me now that I'm like shifting from here to here? And, you know, just that kind of like uncomfortability, which is so interesting that we like, I'm guessing social media has a lot to do with this, but, you know, it's like we put this pressure on ourselves. Like we almost have to like look for other people to validate like that it's okay for us to kind of shift into a new stage of our life when, yeah. I mean, I think the only person we really need to check in with is ourselves. But what kind of like experiences do you have with that? And do you have any like, I don't know, findings or tips that you would share with people based on kind of navigating that?
Yeah. Well, like, so I'm interested to know, I definitely am going to answer that question, but I'm interested to know, was there a part of you that felt a little bit like a failure because you were giving up on your podcast dream and like going to this corporate job?
For sure. It was like, there was a part of me that it felt, yeah, I felt like I had failed because I didn't accomplish what I wanted to in that time. And I had to go a different route. I had to shift completely. And I mean, like, you know, full disclosure, looking back on it, it was like the best thing I could have done. It taught me so much. I look back at like, you know, the last couple of years and there's just so much like that I've learned in terms of lessons and knowledge and getting knocked on my butt and like having to figure stuff out for myself and like really just navigating all that to where I'm now. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in such a better place. And even, you know, I have better tools that like, you know, if I were to just focus 100% on my podcast, like I know how I would just go towards that. Or, you know, there's a lot of amazing takeaways, but in the moment, it was super difficult. And I would say it was, I've never really dealt with a like depressive period in my life. I'm a pretty upbeat person, but I will say that was a time where I went for some really long walks around the block, just trying to like work stuff out in my head. Like, man, what am I doing? And that's just also one of my tips to people. If you're going through something, like go take a walk and don't stop walking until you feel better. You will feel better. Like for some reason, walking just like is incredible and it can really help to sort out my mind, your mind, and meditation helped greatly with that as well. But sorry, I went long-winded on that answer.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I totally second that. Like going for walks is amazing. Like just getting outside and breathing the fresh air. Like for me, it's one of my favorite things to do too. The reason I ask that question is because I feel like sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be one thing. And like, sometimes it's not even the other people and their opinions that's making us feel that way. Like, oh, I can't shift. I can't pivot. It's almost ourselves because we said to ourselves, like, we're going to do this thing. And like, I remember there was a time when I told myself, because I was teaching yoga full time and I really wanted that to be my full time gig. And for any yoga teachers listening, it's a short gig. What? I know you know this if you're teaching yoga full time. It's very difficult to make a living just teaching yoga. And, you know, so I did a bunch of other things too. And one of them was teaching hourly at this school. And I told myself I'm only going to work 8 hours a week there because that was like the parameters I'd put on myself that I'm only doing it 8 hours a week. I'm still a full-time yoga teacher. That's still my identity. And then as the years went on, I kind of kept increasing my hours because I liked the school job and it paid a lot better than teaching yoga and I needed the money. And ultimately, like what I would say to anybody who's like staring down that shift that needs to happen is that it's okay for you to do what's right for you in the moment. And that doesn't mean that you failed at what you had originally set out to do. It just means that, you know, a new phase of life, a new season is starting for you. And to like go confidently in that direction, if doors are opening in that direction, there's a reason. And to explore it. And there's not really, I mean, as much as we want to say like there's dignity in like the struggle, right? The starving artist is that like trope that we all like kind of look up to and we're like, yeah, they're doing it for their art. And I feel like if you are an entrepreneur, like, you know, you and I are, there's a lot of pride in that. And we're like, we want to give it all up for the thing that we really want to do. But ultimately, like, there's nothing like shameful about creating a good living for yourself. And if that means that you need to go work for the school district or the corporate job, that's okay. It doesn't mean it has to be forever. And like you said, like you're probably going to learn amazing things along the way. For me personally, like shifting back to that, like I did have a moment of like just mourning, like leaving the studio and feeling sad about that. But once I fully committed to the shift and I moved in this other direction, it was kind of like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh, this is what I needed. And so a lot of times, like when you are feeling that need to pivot, sometimes the worst feeling is right before you pivot, when you're like, oh, I know I got to take this move. I got to make this move. But you're nervous and you're hesitant and you're wondering what everyone's going to think about you because you're suddenly changing what you've been telling them all these years. And there's all this like angst around that. And then once you finally do the thing and you just announce to the world, I'm doing the thing, like, whew, all of that goes away. It's like a weight lifted off your shoulders and you could just move forward.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm obviously pretty big in health and wellness, as are you. And one of, like when you said a breath of fresh air, it's funny because one of the things that I think a lot of people don't take into account when talking about definitely mental health and wellness is financial freedom. And, or maybe not even financial freedom, but rather just having your finances in a line, you know, and where you need them. And, it can cause so much stress and difficulty on a person who, you know, like you said, it's so cool to see the artist that's really trying to like struggle and make it for their artwork and all that. And that's amazing for sure. But to what end, right? And it is, there's this like breath of fresh air when you finally can just like be like, hey, I'm not tripping on like, how rent is getting paid and whatever other bills might come our way. Like, it's a very relieving thing. And it is definitely a breath of fresh air. I had something else beyond there, but I forgot where I was going with that. So we're going to leave it at the finance. But it was a huge breath of fresh air for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, really, like what more need be said on that aside from that? But yeah, it's definitely. Oh, the other thing I was going to mention too was I've actually found that in my current role, the current place that I am in life, I'm actually more motivated, which is so funny because I had way more time just a year ago to do so much more, but whether it be for my own enjoyment or more importantly towards like a business and trying to make money and things along those lines. And I found that having kind of more of a structure and also like lack of time actually has made me so much more effective and efficient with the time that I do have, and also much more motivated to the point where it's like, I have to get this done by this time. And, you know, it really has been like a kick in the butt to get after it. And I know I shared with this, this with you last time as well. But once again, I said freedom is only the opportunity for self-discipline or discipline. Mm-hmm. One of the US presidents said that quote. And then you came back and you said, discipline. What would you say freedom is?
It was discipline. Yes. Yeah, so like the more disciplined you are, the more freedom you truly have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, it was one of the Navy SEALs. I want to say it was like Jocko or.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was Jocko that said like discipline equals freedom. And I fully, fully stand by that, because if you are disciplined in your health, then you're going to have the freedom to move and do what you want, because, you know, you're less likely to be injured or unhealthy, right? Random illnesses notwithstanding, like sometimes people do just get ill out of nowhere. But, you know, the more disciplined you are, the more freedom you have. If you are more disciplined about your time, then things aren't going to get away from you. And then when you have free time, it's truly free. You're not worried about, oh, I didn't get this thing done by this deadline and now I'm behind and I've got to rush. Like, no, you truly feel free because you know that you've gotten everything done and your free time is yours. So I really think, and like even, I mean, we could take it a step further and say like the disciplined mind is the free mind. Like, how often do you find your thoughts just completely undisciplined and just spinning all over the place and you feel completely paralyzed by that? Whereas if you have a disciplined mind and you notice your thoughts spinning and you catch yourself and you, you know, try to pinpoint, okay, like what's really going on here? What's important? Is this true? Can I let this go? All right, moving on with my day. And then you're free to focus on what you want to.
Yeah. It's very true. Discipline is probably one of the best practices to have. It's a tough one, but it's super good. And it does, it leads to freedom in other areas of your life. And it sounds almost like counterintuitive or counterproductive, where it's like, oh, like, I don't want to be disciplined. I want to like have freedom and, you know, just enjoy my time. But it's like, actually having discipline really allows you to make sure you have the time to enjoy and to relax. But Heather, I wanted to, I have two other questions I wanted to ask you before we move into the last part of our episode here. And one of those was, what's your current focus with health and wellness? Because I think with a lot of people, myself included, it tends to evolve, shift, take different names and looks and all these different things, the practices, the foods, everything. So what are some of the current practices that you're really enjoying and that you found some benefit in with health and wellness?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that when it comes to like movement and my physical body, like my like current like health practices, goals are to just like move as much as possible and to like, I mean, really like I want to be able to like live as unobstructed as possible until my dying day, right? Like I love to practice handstands. I love to do acrobatics. You know, I like to lift weights and I don't really like doing cardio, but I see the benefit in it. So I want to do that so that I can climb up a mountain and not be winded. So I try and get in as much like movement as I can throughout the week and like various forms. So there's always some weightlifting in there a few times a week. There's usually some cardio roped in. There's always like the things that I would consider to be play, but are still movement practices like acrobatics, like handstands. I have some very specific acrobatic goals where I'm trying to really go for big tricks that have been really scary for me for many years and I kind of shied away from. And now I'm taking a concerted effort to like really go for those tricks, practice them every week that I can, and just not let the fear stop me. And that's really like one of my mental practices, is not letting the fear stop me from taking a step forward. And that comes in various forms, like I said, of like acrobatic tricks, like for those like acro yogis out there, like the standing hand to hand, the castaways, the things like maybe you don't know what that means. It's fine. It's just big, scary stuff that it's fun, though. And like,
yeah,
I'm just going to do it no matter what my brain is saying. And, you know, that mind discipline also like connects to like taking steps in like my business, and like I'm just going to keep moving forward, even if it's scary to reach out to people, even if it's scary to put myself on social media. I'm still going to do it, because the more I do it, the better I'll get at it. So that's kind of like the movement goal and practice, and like kind of taps into like the mental as well. When it comes to like other health things like food, I don't really follow like a specific diet, but some of my like current practices are trying to eat as like natural as possible. So eating like the most unprocessed things that I can. But you know, no, I'm not perfect. Like I'm still like a full-time working mom. And so occasionally it's like takeout. But as much as I can eat whole foods, I'm really, really, really doing my best to avoid seed oils. I know how bad those are now after I've listened to like so many of like your podcasts and others. And then like trying to cook my own meals as much as I can at home. So that's like a really big one as well. And then like some of like the more like unseen health goals are things like, you know, making sure that I have really good quality time, like with my friends and my family. And like there was another one that was on the tip of my tongue. Having good sleep, I mean, goes without saying. Like there's so many. It's like you can get overwhelmed with like how many health practices and goals you have. But I kind of try and look at it as like a holistic like approach. Like, am I challenging my body and my mind? Am I taking enough time to like fuel my soul and recover with things like sleep and connection and community? If that kind of answers that question in a more holistic, succinct way.
Right. Yeah, no, it does. And of course, food and movement are so important, but it's really cool to see some of these other topics that wouldn't have normally been kind of lumped in with health are like starting to get a lot of recognition. Sleep, I think, was always kind of on that, kind of in that premise, but now it's obviously gotten like a ton of attention, which it very rightfully deserves. Mm-hmm. But the other one is definitely relationships. And I think people really, myself included, don't understand how truly impactful good relationships are. I was just looking at this yesterday. One of the longest studies that we have on longevity was done by Harvard, and it was like spanning 80 years or something like that. They started it in 1939, and it took a group of people from kind of like a higher class, you know, at Harvard, you know, so they had more money and whatnot. And then they took people from the inner city, didn't have as much income. And really just followed them over the years and looked at what are you eating? What are you doing? Like all these different things. And then they would see when each person died along the way. And what they found was this group of people that made it all the way. It was like your money didn't mean anything. The food sure probably plays a role to a degree and movement and all that. But at the top of everything was just the people that lived the longest had a good community. They had people they could turn to and, you know, vent to, you know, they had people they could rely on. They could call them at 3 a.m. because, I don't know, they got pulled over or whatever it might be. And they had people that they could rely on. And, you know, it really just goes to show how important it is. I think also seeing these blue zones with massive, strong community ties, you know, and then they're obviously living to over 100 years and beyond. So I think it's really cool to see a lot of these practices coming in to play as well, because we are a connected system, right? Health does take into consideration food and movement, but it also takes into consideration literally everything you're doing, like your entire lifestyle. And there's people who can literally nourish your soul, and there's people who can kind of drain your energy.
Yeah. For sure. I don't know if you've ever seen What We Do in the Shadows, but they have like energy vampires on there, which is a really funny concept. But yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I feel like I have to watch it though.
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. My mom's huge on it. She always tries to get me to watch episodes of it. So have seen a couple, and it's pretty funny. But okay. I haven't seen many.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's totally true. Like, I feel like the community aspect of like our health is really overlooked. Like, it is like starting to get a little bit more traction, like you said, but it's just so important to have a community where you feel like you're loved and appreciated and you belong. And it's not like it's going to be perfect, right? No human community is ever going to be perfect. But if you have a place where supported people who you love and love you back, like, there's nothing better.
Yeah, it's very true. And unfortunately, it seems that we are moving in the opposite direction in a lot of ways. You know, in one way, we're more connected than ever through social media and the phone that you can pick up and literally message or call anyone you want at any time. Yet at the same time, we're like living further away from our families. We are, you know, living in, you know, it's like, okay, 18 and out of the house. Well, maybe not so much anymore. but, you know, like, get out of the house, like get your own apartment and just like seclude, you know, and getting like to the point where we're just like a micro unit as opposed to, you know, back like 100 years ago, it was a very big task to move far away from your family. It was not like I'm renting a U-Haul and going across country. Like you had to really figure stuff out. And so I think we've slowly just gotten to a point where we are like secluding ourselves more and more, and we're having difficulty interacting with each other.
Yeah.
But it's so important for us to do that. And luckily, people are becoming aware of it and starting to move in that direction. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we have more community.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, Heather, my other question for you, and this is going to sound very off the wall, but I'll give you some background on this. So I'm a huge Ryan Holiday fan. He's introduced me, and I know you're familiar with him, but he's introduced me to a lot of Stoic philosophy and helped with the mindset, all of that. Like, I'm really, really appreciate the guy and all of his work that he's done. Currently reading his book, Ego is the Enemy. What is ego to you? What does ego mean to you?
I mean, like, initially, it just brings me back to like my yoga days, right? Of like the ego, and like the ego is like sort of that like part of you that's aware that you exist. And like, apologies to those people in the yoga world. I'm probably going to screw this up, and this is just going to be my interpretation of it. So I'll just put that out as a disclaimer. I would say like the ego is the part of you that's aware that you exist. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's your conscious mind, but it's that like kind of judger of the conscious mind, like the judge that's over you that, I mean, exists for an overall purpose of like, you know, initially to kind of keep you safe. But in our modern day world has a lot of really negative impacts. So like, for example, you know, most people don't like rejection. Right. It's something that we try to avoid. It's something that kind of gives us the cringe. And so therefore, like, we don't take a lot of risks in certain areas of our life. We might not ask out that person that we're interested in because we're afraid of being rejected. We might not post the things on social media that we really want to because we're afraid of rejection. We might not, you know, ask our boss for a raise because we're afraid of rejection. And I would say, like, you know, many eons ago that served a purpose because, you know, like you said, we lived with close-knit like family units. We were part of a tribe. And if you were rejected from the tribe, you had to live on your own, which probably meant certain death at that point. And so being not accepted by the group was a really bad thing. But nowadays, like, a little bit of rejection is not going to mean certain death, that's for sure. And it gets blown out of proportion, and we just like don't end up taking the steps forward that we really need to get, you know, to our end goal. So yeah, I would say like ego is that thing that's kind of trying to protect us but in a lot of ways ends up being negative.
What does an unchecked ego look like? Where does that lead someone? What is that?
I feel like that could be like a lot of things. I feel like an unchecked ego is somebody who's not really tapped in to their like true self, their higher purpose, that is really grounded in like worldly things, like that's trying to, like, this is going to sound a bit cliche, but I guess like trying to gather a lot of wealth, a lot of fame, a lot of power, a lot of prestige, but isn't really tapped into the things that make us like infinitely happy, kind of like the things we talked about before, like connection to others, community, something we haven't really touched on, but like doing good for others, I think is a real like soul booster that doesn't have anything to do with the ego. The ego is like seeking to make the individual supreme versus being part of a greater whole and doing good for the greater whole.
Yeah. So it's so funny. Literally today, this happened to me. And I love it because you said something here. You said, you know, helping out like humanity, right? Like doing something good for others, which I'm 100% on board with as well. I agree with that. But it's really funny because today, and I'm just going to like totally check my ego here right now. So I think just bear with me. But today after, so I was working today and I walked out of a Whole Foods. And on the way, there was a woman sitting there and she was, you know, I couldn't understand what she was asked for. I didn't know if it was money or food. And as I had to enter back into the store and on my way in, I could see that she was just like hungry, like she was putting her mouth. And so personally, like a deal with me is like I'll typically provide food to someone. I don't usually give out like money to just like random strangers, but I will do food. So anyways, I saw her and I said, hey, like, are you hungry? Would you like something to eat? And she was like, yes, please. Just, you know, and I was like, what would you like? And she said, a little bit of fruit, maybe some yogurt would be really nice, you know? So easy, right? Like what I spent like $2-3 on her, literally like very, very little amount of money. And she just was like, thank you so much. God bless you. Like just super appreciative. Like one of those really genuine moments where you like felt really good about a task that you did. And I remember like one of the first things I thought was, oh man, I can't wait to tell Ashley about this or mention that. And then I was like, bro, I was like, no, you're not going to say, and here I am talking about it, but you're not going to say anything about this because like, you should just do this because the reward of giving is the reward in itself. You don't need anything beyond that. Like the fact that you have done the task and done the deed and someone has benefited from it. Like that is it. You need no other reward because you have provided to humanity. And, you know, like I would hope that if I was in that scenario as she was, that someone would do the same for me and expect nothing of it. Like I would hope that that person would just truly have the kindness in their heart to do that. And I remember walking away and just thinking like, geez, man, like get that ego in check. I was a little bit angry at myself. It was just like, no, this is good. Good to like understand this and also to take this as a moment to not talk about it and just keep it like, you know, go without recognition. So I'm truly not sharing this as a form of recognition, but rather to just mention how even in our acts of giving and trying to like not be egotistical or something like that, ego can still find its way in. And so really just, you know, trying to be always in tune with that and just watching yourself. And I think, like you said, like understanding that goals that are beyond the individual are usually a pretty good goal and a way to like check the ego. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I think it's fine to have individual goals and to do things for yourself because we have to, right? Like it can't, like, if you weren't working to better your financial life, you wouldn't be able to help out that woman, And it's not like, you know, we're working so we can give all our money away. Like, no, we want to do things for ourselves and our families. But the more we can like give ourselves that financial freedom, the more we can help out. And, you know, it, I don't know, that's like a bit of a sidetrack. But yes, like I feel like there's definitely a balance between like working for the greater good and also individually working for yourself. And if all you're doing is working for yourself, then that looks more like an unchecked ego to me anyways.
One thing that really stuck with me throughout the years was I always, when I was younger, like let's say like in high school, maybe I was always like, oh man, you know, it'd be great to have money to be able to help everyone out and do this and that. Well, hey, once I'm at that point, I'll go ahead and do it. And I think it was actually one of Ashley's professors had said, if you're always waiting to be in that position where you're able to give, you're never going to do it, because technically you could give right now. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be time. It can be just lending an ear to someone. It could be $2, right? Like I spent $3 on her. What is that in the grand scheme of things? It's nothing. It's very little to help someone out. And so I really took that to heart, that you don't have to do these huge grandiose gestures of giving, which are amazing. And it would be incredible to do that, but rather to start giving now with what you have, because that's going to translate over. And just, you know, once you get money, doesn't mean that it's going to make you a better person. Like you're still going to be the person that you are, rather just amplified. And so I think it's important to cultivate with what you have. Like you have everything you need now, especially if you live in a first world, at least for the most part. Many people do have everything that they kind of need in terms of like basic needs. And so you can give, you know, you can really cultivate these in yourself now, and hopefully amplify them in the future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like getting in that habit of like having a giving heart and just like growing that.
Yeah. Definitely spot on. I appreciate you being the ear here for that. I was very interested in going down that question with you. That book, Ego is the Enemy, is pretty new to me. And I don't know, I just felt like you'd be a good person to bounce some of those ideas off of. But I want to move into probably the more interesting part of this episode, which is, I like to kind of give the comparison to, let's say, like and not comparing the two completely, but fitness coach, for example. If you bring up a fitness coach, people know what a fitness coach is, right? Like, you know what to expect. They might give you a meal plan, give you some workouts, like the goals clear, all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
When it comes to a life coach, I think people have a less clear version or vision on what that exactly entails. So, Heather, I want you to take the stage here and show people what life coaching looks like, and use me as your example, because I would love to give people an insider's look into what this actually is and what it does. Feel free to take it.
Absolutely. So I mean, like, since you brought up that topic of like the health coach, like it's a good analogy or like a good parallel, I guess. So like if you go to a health coach, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to sit you down and say, like, what are your goals, right? Like, what do you want to achieve? And so you might outline like a certain weight you want to get to. You might have a certain physical thing you want to perform. Like you want to be able to do pull-ups or push-ups or a backflip. Who knows? It could be anything. And so like you would kind of go through that with them. And then you'd take like a good hard look at like where you're starting. So, you know, if you want to get to a certain weight goal, where are you starting? If you want to get to a certain size or a certain ability level, where are you starting? And then you start to map out a plan of how to get from point A to point Z of, you know, I am, you know, right now, zero ability to do a backflip, and I want to be able to do a backflip in a year. And so then, you know, my coach might train me in specific skills and strength techniques to get me to that point. And we're going to practice them throughout our time together. And a life coach is pretty similar to that. So like you would go to a life coach and the first thing you're going to do is you're going to talk about your goals. You're going to talk about what it is that you want to achieve in your life. And really like that could be a whole host of things. But typically it's the things that are most important to the individual. So it might be something like, you know, I really want to start a business and I've just never had the confidence to do so, but I think I've got what it takes. Or it could be, you know, honestly, I've worked with clients who want to lose weight and we've worked on that and I don't train them, but I life coach them to get them there. It could be something like getting settled in a new country with your family. It could be, you know, meeting the partner of your dreams. But whatever that like next big goal is for you, you're going to talk about that with your life coach, like typically like session one, or even pre-session. And then we look at where you're at right now and we plan out a strategy to get from point A to point Z. And so typically I work with my clients for 3 to 6 months, even up to a year, depending on what it is they want to achieve. And so then we baby step our way there. So if, for example, you know, you're looking to create a business and you want to have this business up and running in 6 months, well, then we're going to break it up into monthly milestones, weekly practices. And it's all coming from a very action-oriented place. And also something that feels very doable to the client. The goal is not to be overwhelming because we want success, right? So the role of the life coach, and this is like the really interesting part, right? Is this is probably where the health coach and the life coach differ a bit. The health coach you go to because they're an expert, because they're the person who's going to give you the meal plan, that's going to give you the exercises, that knows how to get you there. And the life coach, I am not necessarily the expert in your life. Like if you came to me and said, Heather, I want to build a podcast, I'd be like, that's great, Evan, let's do it. I'm here for you. Do I know how to build a podcast? No, but I can still coach you there. So my role is not to tell you what to do exactly, as it is to help you outline your goals, come up with really achievable milestones and then like weekly practices to get you there, help hold you accountable, right? Because this is the big thing that most of us have goals, but we aren't actually working on them because they get put off to the back burner because, you know, life happens and things are busy and stuff gets in the way. And so we just don't take action. And so the life coach is there to be like, hey, remember you said you were going to do that thing? Did you do that thing? Like, you didn't send me the picture. I didn't get the text. Like, why didn't you do that thing? So we're there as like the accountability measure, right? That's a really big one. And we're there to kind of dig a little deeper, to like probe a bit deeper. And so my role is really to ask really empowering questions that get the client thinking and that kind of takes them a bit deeper into what it is they really want, what might possibly be holding them back. And then also how to make sure that it doesn't hold them back anymore so that they're not stuck ever again.
Accountability is something that should never be like belittled or, you know, unaccounted for, because it is literally the difference between accomplishing your goals and not accomplishing them, like 150,000,000%. I see it with people that I've worked with. I see it with myself. That in itself is one of the most important things, I think, in accomplishing goals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 100%. Like, that's really, like, I worked with one client that had huge, huge goals, like, wanted to reach these major milestones in 3 months. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And honestly, like, he did. Like, he totally did. And he was so like on top of it, on target all the time. And the biggest thing he said to me was like, I could have done this by myself all along, but I never did until I had you. And I knew that I was going to see you every week and you were going to ask about my like practices and if I had done them, and I didn't want to let you down. And that was like the biggest motivating factor for him, which, you know, accountability is really big for a lot of people. It's not like the biggest factor for everyone, but for him it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a massive one for sure. Let's run through a little bit of this. How would you open up a session with someone? What would a typical session look like?
Sure. So I would just be like, I mean, like we've discussed this already to your audience, but I'm like, are you okay with me life coaching you, Evan?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it, Heather.
All right. Let's get into it. So, hey, Evan, thanks for doing this session with me today. I'm super excited to get into it with you.
Always happy to speak with you, Heather, and glad to have this moment of accountability.
I noticed you say that with a little bit of trepidation.
Yes. It's tough, but it's good.
It is. So what is it that's on your mind lately, Evan? Like, what's something that you would like to work on that you feel like's been holding you back?
Yeah, it's definitely one thing I've been working on, and I think I'm trying to perfect it, mm-hmm. is my time management, mm-hmm. and more specifically my time management with miscellaneous tasks and mm-hmm. my podcast. So one of the big things I've been doing recently is I've shifted from trying to get like an hour's worth of work after already doing my, you know, main job, and then, you know, coming home, like eating real quick, and then trying to just like hammer out some work. So I would do like an hour every single night, pretty much Monday through Thursday or Friday or so. And then I would kind of just take my weekends off, although I was typically still busy on the weekends. And something I've recently done is I've stopped doing that, and I've dedicated more of a block hour, block time on Sunday to sit down and really just go through, like, for example, my podcast, and really just designate some time to it to where I can really get into it and, you know, put maybe 3 or 4 hours in one go towards it, which I've done it 2 times now, and it's been really, really great. But it, you know, I'm definitely seeing that, you know, moving forward, it's going to be something that I'm going to have to prioritize and really schedule in, because it's easy to allow it to go to the wayside.
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, tell me more about like what prompted you to make this change.
What prompted me was I would be, you know, I release an episode every single Wednesday. And a lot of the times I'll be like cleaning up an episode the night before I release it. And it's like, maybe I'll even have a couple episodes already recorded, but I haven't cleaned any of them up and edited them. So then I find myself on Tuesday at 9:30 PM, like crunching through a episode, trying to really, you know, make sure it sounds good and, you know, has all the parts to it and has trimmed. And then I got to worry about the video content and just, you know, all the stuff that comes along with it. And then it's like, I know I'm going to be up at 5 o'clock the next morning. So then I'm trying to like rush through it. And it just got to a point where I actually had a week, the very first week in over 2 years, where I missed a week of an episode because I was literally editing an episode, and then I am not the most technologically gifted. And so I deleted all of my work. And that would take me like hours on hours. Yep. And it was like almost 10 o'clock at night. And it was like, okay, do I just catch 2 or 3 hours of sleep this night and make sure this episode comes up on time? Or do I just announce that there is no episode this week and I'm going to ensure that I have some really good episodes coming up in the following weeks? And so that right there was my really, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back for sure. It's what made me reevaluate it and say, no, you have to find a time that's more designated and more efficient for you to get these done.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm really hearing here is like you're saying, like you were feeling really stressed and that you are trying to kind of squeeze in this work that requires a lot of focus and energy into a time where you didn't really have a lot of focus and energy, and then it was resulting in feeling kind of frantic and stressed.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So now that you've made this change and you're doing your podcast editing on Sundays, how do you feel?
It feels really good. I think it's a little bit harder to set that time aside and to really like, you know, I already have typically, you know, Monday through Friday are for sure completely scheduled and jam-packed. Saturday as well can be pretty jam-packed depending. And then Sunday is pretty much my only day free. And it's a tough thing to be like, cool, I'm going to take 3 or 4 hours out of this day and just do more work. So I think that's hard. But the thing is that when I do it, especially if I just get up at a good hour and actually get after it, I'm really like focused on the work that I'm doing. I can actually get a good amount of work done in a relatively small amount of time. And then on top of that, it frees up every single evening, Monday through Friday, which is so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. I definitely hear like the struggle too, right? Is that you're like already working a lot, like a full-time job plus like podcasts on top of it, and then like trying to do things on the weekends. And so like the tough part, if I'm hearing this correctly, you can tell me if I'm not, is that it doesn't feel like you're getting a lot of downtime or like self-care time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely trying to find the self-care time has, it's there. And I think I'm slowly finding places where I can have more of it, like even in the evenings of my, you know, Monday through Friday kind of weekday times. But yeah, but I do know that when I'm doing these Sunday sessions, I also have the opportunity to get ahead and set myself up for possibly more downtime in the future, as long as I can be disciplined in the near future.
Yeah. So what would like a really dreamy schedule look like for you?
Ooh, it would probably look like Monday through Friday, pretty busy, and I'm cool with that. And a Saturday, you know, depending on what's going on that Saturday, like possibly open, possibly busy, but then maybe even like every other Sunday off pretty much. And then with one Sunday on and maybe just going hard at it.
Okay. Okay. So every other Sunday, nothing. Completely open.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That would be sweet.
Okay. And how possible is that for you to carve out for yourself right now?
It's possible, but I do think that in for the next, like, let's just say like month, I would have to really be super strategic and maybe even put in a little extra time on the Sunday sessions to like really get myself ahead and, you know, have episodes like ready to go and, you know, like completely edited, all that good stuff. So that then I could really just utilize the every other Sunday as like a, hey, let's really get after it and make sure we have, you know, so many episodes ready to go. And then that way next Sunday could be a total just like chill and easygoing day.
Yeah. So I've heard you say like it would mean that you'd have to put in some extra work and like really go like hardcore discipline to make that happen within the next month. How motivated are you to do that?
Actually, probably this month, not super motivated. I'm the reason for that being is that I have within the next like 6 weeks, a lot going on at work. But beyond that, I think when that would calm down, I would be like really motivated to like have that free time. Because then I would be able to dedicate a little bit more time to the podcast and then really down the line actually have that like open Sunday. So I would say like here in the immediate sense, it's going to be so difficult. I don't know if I'm honestly willing to like put myself through that at the moment, but I think, in like, it would almost be exactly 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks from now, mm-hmm. it would calm down and it would be an opportunity for that. And I would be okay. very motivated to do that.
Okay. And that's totally fair. So within the next 6 weeks, this is not the plan because it's not going to work for your lifestyle right in this, immediate 6 weeks. But after that 6 weeks, I'm hearing like, yeah, I would go for that because it would be worth it at that point and I could handle it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then within this immediate 6 weeks, just to give you a little bit of relief, right? So that like you could get some semblance of this like free time that it feels like you're craving a little bit of.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as possible for you within these next 6 weeks? Like, where could you carve out some free time?
I think that Sunday could largely be a free day,
mm-hmm.
even with me working on the podcast, but rather, mm-hmm. once again, freedom with discipline. I would need to be very disciplined on my Sundays and, mm-hmm. you know, not that I have to wake up at 5 o'clock, but maybe mm-hmm. 6 or 6:30, get mm-hmm. a little sleep in time, but mm-hmm. then really for, you know, right upon waking up, maybe have a little moment of coffee and mm-hmm. reading or meditation or whatever. And then just getting after the work, sitting down, mm-hmm. getting after it. And then finding myself with literally, you know, from like 11 o'clock on free.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now that you've just said that, like, how does that make you feel?
It'd be nice.
Okay.
Good. It feels good. It would be awesome. I mean, I don't even know what I would do. I would just enjoy the time. It would be so good.
So how committed are you to doing that this week?
I'm super committed to doing it. I think here recently, ever since that week of missing an episode, I've been like really dialed in on wanting to make sure that Sunday is the day for that. And so I would say, yeah, I'm quite committed to doing that. It would have to be like, I don't know, a big event on a Sunday for me to be like, okay, cool. Like I can't do anything on this day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this week you're committed to saying like, I'm going to wake up early on Sunday. I'll have my morning time to myself to like coffee, meditate, get your head right, get into the work. And then once the work's done, put it away and have the rest of your day free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So give it a shot. And then, okay. So here I am as your life coach. Like I want you to text me Sunday night and tell me how it went, how it felt.
Okay. I got you. Yeah. I already got you on speed dial.
I know. Yeah. So this is what you're committing to for this week is trying out this kind of half Sunday schedule. Cool. It wasn't necessarily practical for you to have a full day off on Sunday, but a half day off we're approximating what you're wanting.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
And that's not to say as well, the occasional Saturday that opens up as well, which is mm-hmm. always very nice.
Yeah. So how are you feeling right now around like your original request of like trying to figure out this time management piece?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel definitely more clarity, I think, moving further down the line. Because mm-hmm. I think immediately I knew I wanted to do this Sunday session, but I think now I have more of an idea of like how this could actually look 2, 3, 4 months out from now and mm-hmm. kind of like the freedom and availability that that would provide.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And so like working to this point where you could have a full Sunday off. And then my other question is, like, since like you are kind of craving a little bit more breathing room, is there any other place in your week where you could fit in a little bit of unscheduled time?
Fridays tend to be one of the more chill days for me. And I feel like that has been a day traditionally where I'm able to kind of have like a really hard stop on my work and then really just kind of like enjoy the evening on a Friday, mm-hmm. which is always really nice. And honestly, Ritual being the amazing company that it is, they give all of their employees every fourth Friday of the month off. So it's, I mean, like, they're an absolute heaven sent, and it's incredible. And when that happens, it's like a great opportunity to just catch up on stuff, take it easy, you know, do all the things that you've been needing to do. So it's really awesome.
Okay. So you've got like at least one other place where you can fit in some like breathing room, like Friday evenings of like not working, taking care of you.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to hold you to it. Do your half Sunday off. And it's kind of like what we talked about before, right? The discipline equals freedom. And let me know how it feels, how it goes. And know that like this is your schedule. And so if something doesn't feel right, if it's not working, then it's a place we can revisit and always, you know, modify and make it work for you. But I think you've got a really good like first step of like trying this out. And then also with like an eye on the long term of like 6 weeks from now, maybe we can expand on it a little bit.
100%. I tend to do well in a short term, like future sight, but the long term is something I don't normally pay attention to. So that's a nice thing to have a little bit more clarity on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And I mean, I know we're keeping this like session a little bit short. And so we're kind of just tapping into like a really mini part of your like schedule and your time management, like focus, but it's definitely something that could be expanded upon and like gotten into in like more depths and like looked at a bit further, which I'd totally be happy to do with you at any point. But, you know, just so listeners know that this is like just a little like snippet of like a life coaching session.
Yeah, no, it's really nice to have an ear to speak with and have someone actually bounce actionable steps back to you. So I appreciate it. And of course, yeah, like you said, this was a mini piece, but also a very important piece for me. So I really appreciate you doing that with me because it is something that has been mentally pulling a lot of my attention and energy. So I appreciate that.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I totally get that. Like, I'm super busy as well. And so I know how that feels when you're just like, oh my gosh, my schedule is so busy and you just feel really overwhelmed. And I mean, there are ways, even if you are a busy person, like you are, like to heal your relationship with time, to be able to accomplish the things that you want to and need to, but still feel like you have some breathing room. Like it's very possible. Everything is figure outable. And like, I mean, like I said, this is just a mini session. So there's definitely like deeper and deeper we can go and like more epiphanies to be had. And, you know, like I said somewhere in the podcast, I typically work with clients anywhere from like 3 to like 12 months. And so like you just get further down this path. But I think the really cool thing is like, I am not the expert on your schedule. I don't think that that would be possible for me to do that. Like, I'm not going to tell you, well, here's what you should do, Evan, because I don't know what's going to work for your life. But the more I can question and kind of peel back those layers, the more it reveals to you, like, what steps are possible.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it does. And it's the questions that need to be asked that we don't ask ourselves. So I appreciate that. Now, I know you, Heather, and I mean, I've been taking yoga classes from you for so long and we hang out and you're one of my favorite people. But for someone who is new to you or this episode or this podcast, how would they go about even starting down the path of life coaching? How do they contact you? Like, what are the first steps even look like?
Yeah, well, I think the easiest way, honestly, is my Instagram. Like, I'm pretty active on Instagram, and it is just my name. So it's at Heather Murillo, which hopefully you could just drop that in the show notes.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, they could totally contact me there. And I actually wanted to offer all of your listeners a little free gift. So if they go to Instagram and follow me and send me a DM, if they just DM me Evan, then I will gift them a free 15-minute session.
That's awesome. I love that. So essentially what was provided right here. And but for each and every person, that's amazing.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, that's definitely going to be in the show notes for sure, as well as any and every other thing that you want included, in which ways they can find you, contact you, connect with you, all that good stuff. We'll also be sure to have in there. But yeah, that's an amazing way to get in touch with you and to also see if y'all are a great fit and kind of go down that path of life coaching, which personally, I think people can have a lot of benefit from, because like I said, we don't tend to ask ourselves these important questions. I know I definitely struggle with it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because like I, prior to my own life coaching journey, like didn't really understand the process of it either. And I think, I mean, I've seen the benefit in my life and so many of my other clients' lives. Like it's really transformational. So I think if, you know, you're feeling like there are some places in your life that need a little bit further examination, if there's goals you've been putting off and you're ready to take action, then now's the time. Like there's no better time to just talk to a life coach and see what they have to offer.
Yeah, no, that's it right there, Heather. Heather, I appreciate you so much. I said it just a minute ago, but you're one of my favorite people. You're an awesome person and you bring a lot of just like, I know it's so cliche, but like good energy to every group and setting that you come to. So I really do appreciate it, Heather. And thank you for chatting with me on this podcast episode today and, you know, diving deep on some of the questions that I've been kind of wanting to ask you for a while and other questions that just kind of came about, and also to show this new like time in your life, as well as like the new things that you're doing, which are incredible. And I'm always just a huge supporter of you because, yeah, like I said, you bring the good energy and I think that's what it's all about. So Heather, thank you very much. I'm going to open the floor here for you just one last time.
Yeah.
If you want to say anything to the listeners, but just know for all the listeners out there that everything will be like in the description in the show notes. So if you are curious about anything, you can just click down there.
Thank you so much, Evan. Honestly, I just appreciate you so much. And I mean, right back at you, like one of my favorite people, like just an all around amazing human that genuinely cares about people and doing good in this world. And there should just be more people like you. And I hope that all of your listeners know how really honest and forthright you are. And I really appreciate that. And so friends for life, man.
Thank you, Heather. No, 100%. Yeah, no, definitely. Absolutely. Friends for life. BFFFFs, however you say it. I appreciate you, Heather, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Evan.
All right, y'all, you know the deal. It's do everything with good intentions, connect to your elements, and check out Heather. She'll be in the show notes. Peace.
This podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. Evan Roberts is not a medical professional, and this podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Statements and views expressed on this show are not medical advice. This podcast, including Evan Roberts and any guests on the show, disclaims responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained in this episode. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a medical professional.